This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett, PhD. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
The Gospel of John, it's a book that inspires, some pretty serious devotion for some and sparks some pretty heated debates for others.
Yeah.
Today, we're taking a critical look at this unique gospel. We're drawing insights from an academic analysis that goes really deep into some of the more challenging aspects of John's text. By the end of this exploration, you'll be able to have conversations out the Gospel of John with, a more informed and critical perspective. And, you'll be ready to tackle those thought-provoking questions that come up when you're dealing with this complex and fascinating text.
What makes John stand out is how it presents Jesus right from the beginning.
Yeah, it really is striking. Instead of starting with the genealogy like we see in Matthew or Luke, John just kind of throws us right in with that powerful philosophical statement. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Exactly.
I mean, talk about a bold opening.
It's a deliberate choice, for sure. John is really making a theological declaration about Jesus's divinity right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Setting the stage for everything that follows.
And that theme of Jesus as divine light pervades the entire gospel.
Uh-huh.
And it contrasts sharply with the forces of darkness. Now, I find that imagery incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
But, I do kind of wonder if it risks maybe oversimplification when we try to apply it to the complexities of our modern world.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The symbolism of light versus darkness, it is certainly rich with spiritual meaning, but you're right.
Yeah.
It can be interpreted in a way that creates a rather black and white view of reality. For modern readers, it's crucial to recognize the nuances of human experience and the gray areas that often defy easy categorization.
This brings us to the question of miracles in John, which are often presented in a way that kind of challenges our modern understanding of the world.
Okay.
Take, for example, the miracle at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty spectacular feat.
Right.
And it really sets the stage for the many miracles that follow.
The wedding at Cana is significant because it's the first public miracle attributed to Jesus in John's gospel.
Yes.
It's not just about the act itself, though. It functions as a sign pointing to something much deeper about Jesus's identity and mission.
Mm-hmm.
But it's understandable that this miracle, like others in John, might be difficult for those approaching the text from a skeptical viewpoint to reconcile with their own worldview.
Exactly. It kind of begs the question, are these miracles meant to be taken literally or metaphorically?
Yeah.
This dilemma becomes even more pronounced when we consider the story of Lazarus.
Yeah.
Which is, unique to John.
Right.
In this account, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead after he's been entombed for 4 days.
The raising of Lazarus is perhaps the most dramatic miracle recounted in John's gospel.
Okay.
It's a powerful statement about Jesus's authority over life and death, and it leads directly into the events of Holy Week. But, like you said, it raises questions, especially for a modern audience accustomed to scientific explanations for natural phenomena.
And it's particularly intriguing that this miracle, considered one of the most significant in John, isn't mentioned in any of the other Gospels.
Right.
That discrepancy alone is enough to make you pause and consider the different perspectives and potential agendas at play when these texts were being written.
Absolutely. These inconsistencies highlight the complexities of biblical scholarship and the various interpretations that arise when we delve into these ancient texts.
Speaking of things unique to John, we can't overlook the I am statements.
Right.
They're so central to John's portrayal of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
These statements are loaded with theological weight.
Yeah.
For someone approaching this gospel with a critical lens, how do these statements fit into the overall theological framework John is building?
That's a great question. You see, these statements have been interpreted in many ways throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
Some scholars emphasize the connection to the Old Testament, where God reveals himself as, I am seeing these statements as powerful affirmations of Jesus's divinity. Others focus more on the metaphorical meaning, suggesting that bread of life, for instance, represents the spiritual nourishment Jesus offers.
Okay.
It's fascinating to see how these interpretations can lead to vastly different understandings of Jesus's mission and identity.
It's like John is using these metaphors to paint a very specific picture of Jesus, highlighting his unique role in the world.
Yeah.
And speaking of portrayal, something that struck me as I was reading was the tension between Jesus and the Jewish leaders in John.
Okay.
This seems to be a recurring theme throughout the gospel.
Yes. The relationship between Jesus and the Jewish authorities is certainly fraught with tension in John's gospel.
Yeah.
It's a complex issue.
Right.
And it's important to approach it with sensitivity, acknowledging the potential for misinterpretations and the historical context in which this tension arose.
For example, in one passage, Jesus is debating with Jewish leaders about his authority and identity.
Okay.
They're questioning his teachings and his claims to be the Messiah.
Right.
This kind of back and forth really highlights the different perspectives at play in this highly charged environment.
You bring up a great example. It's crucial to remember that this tension between Jesus and the Jewish leaders is presented through John's particular lens.
Yeah.
How this tension is portrayed has had a profound impact on how the relationship between Christianity and Judaism has been understood throughout history.
I see.
It's a sensitive topic.
Yeah.
And one that requires careful consideration of the historical context mm-hmm. and the potential for bias in the text itself. It's a reminder that we need to read these texts with a critical eye, understanding that they were written within a specific historical and cultural context.
It makes you wonder if John was intentionally crafting this narrative to highlight a certain theological perspective,
mm-hmm.
perhaps to distinguish his community from other Jewish groups at the time.
That's a question that scholars continue to grapple with.
Right.
The Gospel of John certainly presents a unique perspective on Jesus and his relationship to Judaism.
Yep.
And it's important to acknowledge the potential impact this has had on interfaith dialogue over the centuries.
Okay, let's turn our attention to one of the most captivating stories in John, the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well.
Okay.
You know, this story always stands out to me because it touches on themes of societal prejudice, spiritual longing,
right.
and the transformative power of encounter.
It's a fascinating narrative on so many levels.
It is.
The fact that Jesus, a Jewish man, engages in a conversation with a Samaritan woman,
yes.
a group often ostracized by Jewish society,
right.
speaks volumes about his message of inclusivity and his willingness to challenge social norms.
And then there's that whole discussion about living water,
yeah.
which is so rich with symbolism.
Right.
It's clearly about something much deeper than just quenching physical thirst.
Exactly. Living water represents spiritual fulfillment,
right.
a deep longing for a connection with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful metaphor that resonates with anyone who has ever felt that sense of yearning for something beyond the material world.
But remember how earlier we were talking about the possibility of metaphorical interpretations versus literal ones?
Yeah.
Well, some scholars suggest that this encounter might be more of a constructed dialogue.
Right.
A literary device used by John to convey theological points.
Okay.
Rather than a literal historical event.
That's right. Some scholars see the story as an allegory, mm-hmm. a carefully crafted narrative designed to illuminate specific theological concepts.
Right.
But even if we interpret it as such, yeah. it doesn't diminish the story's power or meaning.
I agree.
In fact, it adds another layer of depth.
Yeah.
Inviting us to engage with the text on a more symbolic and metaphorical level.
It's like we're being encouraged to read between the lines, to look for those hidden layers of meaning that enrich our understanding of the text.
Uh-huh.
But even with all this talk about symbolism and metaphorical interpretations,
yeah.
we can't shy away from the more challenging aspects of John's gospel,
right.
like the resurrection account.
You're right. The resurrection is a central tenet of Christian faith.
Yeah.
And John's account emphasizes the physical reality of Jesus's resurrected body.
Right.
This can be a stumbling block for those who approach the text from a purely scientific or historical perspective.
I see what you mean.
How do we reconcile this claim with our modern understanding of death as a biological reality?
It forces us to confront the limits of human understanding
yeah.
and the intersection of faith and reason.
Mm.
I think for many people, this is where things get really tricky.
Right.
How do we hold space for both scientific inquiry and religious belief without one negating the other?
It's a question that has puzzled theologians and philosophers for centuries.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a single easy answer.
Right.
But perhaps it's in that tension,
okay.
in that space where faith and reason meet
mm-hmm.
that we find the most profound insights.
It's about recognizing that different ways of knowing can coexist.
Yes.
Each offering its own unique perspective on the mysteries of life and death.
Precisely.
Okay.
And it's in that spirit of open-mindedness and intellectual humility
right.
that we can approach these ancient texts,
yeah.
allowing them to challenge our assumptions and expand our understanding of the world.
This conversation about different perspectives and interpretations brings us back to those timeline discrepancies we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that John's account of the crucifixion doesn't quite line up
yeah.
with the timeline presented in the Synoptic Gospels.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Those discrepancies have generated much debate among biblical scholars.
I bet.
Some argue they point to different sources of information or even different theological agendas.
Right.
Others suggest that John might have been intentionally reshaping the narrative
to emphasize certain theological points.
It's like a puzzle where the pieces don't quite fit perfectly.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the point. Maybe we're not meant to find a neat and tidy solution.
Right.
Maybe it's the very act of wrestling with these discrepancies that leads us to a deeper understanding of the text.
Yeah.
And its multiple layers of meaning.
I think you're onto something there. These inconsistencies invite us to engage with the text more actively.
Yeah.
To ask questions and to grapple with the complexities of these ancient narratives.
It's a reminder that the Bible isn't a monolithic, static text.
Right.
It's a collection of writings composed by different authors at different times for different audiences.
Yes.
And with potentially different purposes in mind.
Right.
And recognizing that is crucial for any meaningful engagement with these texts.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us that interpretation plays a vital role in how we understand these texts.
Absolutely. And that's where critical thinking becomes so important. We need to be equipped to evaluate different perspectives, to weigh the evidence, and to arrive at our own informed conclusions.
Speaking of critical thinking, you mentioned a book earlier that might be helpful for our listeners who want to delve deeper into this topic.
Right.
Could you remind us of the author and title?
Of course. The book is by Dr. Bo Bennett, and it's a fantastic guide for developing critical thinking skills.
Okay.
It provides tools and techniques for evaluating information, questioning assumptions, and forming well-reasoned conclusions.
Great.
I highly recommend it for anyone wanting to engage with complex texts.
Yeah.
Like the Gospel of John on a deeper level.
That sounds incredibly helpful. We'll be sure to include a link to that in the show notes. As we wrap up our exploration of the Gospel of John, what's one key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
If there's one thing to remember, it's that the Gospel of John is a text that invites multiple interpretations.
Great.
It's not about finding the one right answer. It's about engaging with the text on its own terms, recognizing its complexities,
yeah.
and being open to different perspectives.
It's like a journey of discovery where the destination isn't as important as the process of exploration itself.
Exactly. And that exploration can be both intellectually stimulating and spiritually enriching.
Yes.
It challenges us to think critically, to question our assumptions, and to expand our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
It's a reminder that faith and reason are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
We can approach these ancient texts with both curiosity and reverence, allowing them to speak to us in new and unexpected ways.
And that's what makes studying the Gospel of John so rewarding.
Right.
It's a text that continues to challenge and inspire us centuries after it was written.
So if the Gospel of John was written with a specific purpose in mind, what might that purpose be? Something to ponder as we continue our own explorations.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Scholars have offered various interpretations. Some suggest it was to present a unique theological perspective on Jesus.
Okay.
To inspire faith in a world increasingly hostile to early Christians,
mm-hmm.
or to offer a glimpse into the mysteries of the divine.
Interesting.
Whatever the intended purpose.
Yeah.
The Gospel of John remains a powerful and enduring testament to the enduring power of belief.
Right.
And the human search for meaning.
I love that, a testament to the enduring power of belief
yeah.
and the human search for meaning. What a perfect thought to end on. Thank you for joining me on this fascinating journey through the Gospel of John.
It's been my pleasure. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking.